can find the 180 on demand, midday180.com, 1045thezone.com. We will be out and on location next week. Scoreboard Bar and Grill, Predators in the postseason. Of course, they have the exhibition today at 3 o'clock. Game one on Sunday, games two and three, Tuesday and Wednesday. And we'll be live at Scoreboard Bar and Grill from 10 to 2. Face-off is a little after 1:30. So we're going to stick around and watch the game. Hope you will as well. More details, 1045thezone.com. Crew's all here, and Coach Mack is about to join us on Zoom. But before that, Paul, you have been trying to get in touch with Vic Beasley, haven't you?
Yes. Fruitless, long fruitless day yesterday, obviously chasing this story. I did come up with his number, texted him fruitlessly, and called him several times, only to get his voicemail, which we thought was worth sharing. Because unless you've gone back and looked for interviews during his career with the Falcons or Clemson, in Nashville, we've not heard his voice. So this is the only thing we've heard from Vic Beasley in Nashville. And B, though it's 22 seconds long, it might give you a slight hint about his character, because it's a bit of an odd voicemail greeting. So I played it for my wife last night, who didn't get it at all. I would urge you, as you listen, to act like you are talking to Vic Beasley. So as he act like you're interacting with him, say who you are and what you are doing. If you get my drift, Mac, you understand what I'm saying?
No, not really, but go ahead.
Say,
let me simplify it. This is Vic Beasley pretending to answer your phone call. Let's listen.
Hello? What's going on, bro? Shit, same here, man. I just got back in town. You around? You in town? Ah, man, it's just my voicemail, bro. Y'all know how things work together. Get it, your boy. Peace.
So, Paul, what voicemail did you leave?
I left no voicemail.
Oh.
I don't find voicemails to be effective. I just went back to hear it again to record it. I still can't make out the last part of it. But I will say, I didn't get burned by it. I mean, I got burned by it the first time. It rang and it answered. And then maybe the third time I called her later in the day, even though I knew that was the greeting, it answered immediately instead of the four rings. And I got burned by it again. I thought, oh, crap, he's answering.
Coach Mack is presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, like an extra set of pads when you need them the most. Farm Bureau Health Plans, protecting Tennesseans since 1947, online at FBHP.com. Mack, what's up, man?
What's up, Paul, Chad, David Reed? Got everybody. That's a good thing.
It is always good to see Coach Mack.
We're going to have Kirby.
Because, you know, we're going to talk some ball.
Yeah, let's before we do that, and, you know, we've already heard from Vic Beasley, are we going to have Kirby today?
Kirby will be on with us in about right around 10:45. And he's re-downloading Zoom. I'll have to tell you, because he was on one of the midday mixers with us with Zoom.
I've been on midday mixer with him.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll let him tell you why he's having to re-download it. That's coming up at 10:45.
Okay.
This is going to be a preseason, a training camp that's full of question marks and hurdles. And here's one for the Titans with Vic Beasley not reporting, Mac.
Well, absolutely is. I mean, when you don't, that's one thing you always look forward to everybody reporting. This has been an unusual offseason anyway, but, you know, when you sign someone in free agency and they don't report, and then, you know, there's no sign of where they are, well, clearly then that's cause for concern. And the first thing that you do, and I'm sure you guys are the same way, you've got concern as to whether everything's okay. You know, because clearly everything is not lined up right now. So I don't have any information on it. I would think, and again, we've got people that if nobody seriously has heard or knows anything about his whereabouts or his circumstances, well, then that's concerning.
Yes, very much so. And it's concerning too, just defensively. Like you and I have chatted about this. It's just, whenever you were factoring in Beasley with this front, you know, it was 8 sacks last year. We know the athlete that the guy is and the similarities that he is to Harold Landry. He was going to be a piece to their defensive front puzzle this season.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's somebody that's rushed the passer in the National Football League and has had some measure of success, you know, had one outlier year where he had a huge amount, but he does have ability to rush the passer, and it would be another numbers that you could push at it. And when you start looking at what was available out there in free agency, you know, if you've got somebody that is continually getting to the passer in the National Football League from the edge or from the inside, really, let's be honest about that. You know, those guys, normally don't make it, to free agency. And if they do, and you've got a chance to try to add somebody like that, well, then, you know, you do it. But to me, I mean, you can't, if he's not there, then he's not a piece of it. And then you still need to have somebody else.
Coach Mack with us, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, combining the phases of what would have been OTAs. That's what they're doing right now. Right after testing is confirmed here with players, allowing the walkthroughs to take place in varying stages. The most organized teams will be the teams who feel like they get the most out of this first couple of weeks prior to putting the pads on.
When we first started hearing about what was going to happen and the proposals that were being made, when we knew that this whole offseason was going to be truncated and then it was going to be virtual, and then once everybody showed up, all of the proposals that we had, as the former coach in me, the thing that I was concerned about when they started talking about having phase one before they were able to do anything else, because the true phase one in your original offseason program, they could work out with Frank Perino. They could do all of those things, but the coaches could not be on the field with them. Okay. You could still have the classroom organization of it, but the coaches, you could not be on the field with them. All right. They've already had the coaches in the classroom, you know, on the virtual. That was my concern when I was looking at it. When I found out and then finally read the final proposal and what they've all signed off on is being able to have the walkthroughs as part of this. They have melded the two, phase one and phase two, together as to where you can have walkthroughs. The walkthroughs are extremely important. And I think that people sometimes get a misconception of, because it says walk, I mean, you're not necessarily doing that. I mean, I've spent as much time, and coaches do too, making scripts for walkthroughs to highlight specific things you want to work on as you do making your scripts, you know, for full padded practices. Because there are a lot of things that you can learn, especially with a whole new group together. To me, that was an important part of it, and I know the coaches had an input in this.
Coach, is there anything that's unimportant in terms of training camp? And I ask that for this reason. There's a lot of people talking now, well, if you can cut this out, then why have this moving forward with training camp? If you can just do the walkthroughs and the stretching and the running and everything else, then maybe you can cut this and that out. But from a coaching perspective, everything seems pretty intentional once you get to camp, whether it be the walkthrough that you're talking about, the position meetings, how you go into the cafeteria and eat together at different, whatever it may be, it all seems like it does have some level of importance. Is it safe to say that, or are there some things you could cut out and everything would be just fine?
Chad, I like the word that you used, intentional, because, I mean, everything is planned out. I mean, and to me, all the years that I coached, I mean, you always don't do anything that's non-essential. Why would you do anything that was non-essential? Okay, number one. And especially when you started getting restrictions put on the time that you could have them in there. You know, once the CBA, the first one, was signed, you started having restrictions on the amount of time that you could be with your players. And so it made no sense to do anything that was non-essential. The other thing that you look at when you're doing these walkthroughs, and I've stood with Paul at practices before and have talked to him about having progressive teaching as far as something that will relate to what you're going to do on the field. I mean, you know, the days of getting guys out there and having them jump over each other and do monkey rolls and lay on your back and, you know, hit somebody in the face, you know, the things you don't do in a game, those days, you know, are long past us. So I like your word intentional, and you've got to be well planned out. I mean, I've been in meetings, guys, where I've had meetings where we would go through position by position with assistant coaches and going, what does this relate to what we are doing, either in the big scheme or either in the individual scheme? Why are you doing this drill? What are you doing here? Why is your presentation set up this way? And if you can't give me good delineated answers, then we might need to revisit this.
Vrabel said they will do some live stuff at some point.
Yes.
With young guys. How much, as you do that stuff in this setting, praying, and most of all, just hoping each play ends with everybody getting up?
Okay, Paul, here, and again, I like that you bring this up, and this is for the listeners. You've stood at enough practices. A lot of our listeners haven't had a chance to stand at practices and to watch. You can go full speed with pads, and we're talking full pads now. You can go full speed with pads on and go live thud right to the point where you stop is you don't take anybody to the ground, okay? But you can also, if you're going to scrimmage, then you are going to take people to the ground. Every year that I was involved in this coaching, since the CBA has been in, because the rookies can be out on that field as long as you want them, have planned out sessions where at the end of practice, when your veterans and a group are stretching, that you would have a 18 to 20 play live scrimmage with your rookies. And not only rookies, some of your second year guys and some of the guys that you have brought in, some of your practice squad guys from the year before. In other words, you can have an 18, that was the number we used, 18 to 25 plays of live scrimmage to be able to see these guys, see how well they can input and they can implement what you have worked on installing up to that point. And that's when you still had four preseason games. So that has already been done. I've done it, and I'm sure everybody else, you know, has done it. And so they will do it too. And Mike Vrabel's right. I mean, you've got to be able, especially your young guys, the speed is completely different. First of all, you've got to teach them how to practice full speed without pads on. But you want to see them, you know, in some sort of live situation, first of all, so you can get it on tape. And second of all, so you can teach them off of it. And thirdly, so you can see, is this guy who we really thought he was, at least at this point? It doesn't mean you're not going to give him a chance when you play somebody else in the preseason, but you're going to have to look at it. It's an evaluation tool. So they absolutely will do that, Paul.
How far in advance have coaches been preparing for these walkthroughs?
Well, there's two types of walkthroughs. You do position walkthroughs, you do unit walkthroughs, you do team walkthroughs, and then you go offense against defense walkthroughs. I mean, you can scheme up. If you're going, let's take it all the way to the offense against defense walkthroughs. You can go at a speed and at a rapid pace. One of the things that we used to do, we did it every year, everywhere I've been, is you go your entire blitz package against your offense, you know, their different personnel groups, so that they can work on who they're going to pick up. And look, if they don't pick up the right person, that's fine. You keep working, then you go back, you pick it up, but you have to be able to work this out, and you work it out together. You work it out and you say, okay, look, we're going to go 11 personnel here. We're going to go 3-by-1. Here's the biggest problems we're getting off of 3-by-1 pressures. Show us this in your package. Can you see this at some point, you know, during this? And it's more than a walkthrough. It's a jog through. And we want it rapid fire because we want them to get up there, recognize it, see it. You've got to, I mean, you don't just go out there and just say, okay, here's what we're going to do today. Your question was, how long do you spend on it? You spend a lot of time on it because you want to work on things. Going back to what Paul said, Chad said, you want to go back and be intentional with what you're working on and seeing.
Mac, a non-Titans related question here. Jamal Adams now in Seattle, and you certainly would know that Pete Carroll's defense is starting on the back end and then moves forward. That's a critical piece for what they're doing with the cover three match that Seattle runs.
Yeah, well, and Pete, you know, in the last few years, his secondary has not been as strong as the Legion of Boom was when they were running hot. And so he hasn't been able to run as much as that cover three, middle of the field closed, cover three match, which is man and zone. It's a combination man and zone. But you need to be able to run that. You need a piece that can be close to the line of scrimmage, that can also play at the second level, that can cover, and that can also be involved in the run front, and that can pressure. I mean, look, Jamal Adams is probably one of the best in the league at doing that. He really is. I think Pete would like to get back to more of his cover three match that he brought into this league. And I think this will be a piece that will help him. And plus, John Schneider's never made a number one pick in a long time since he's been there anyway.
Statement from the Titans that just came out from John Robinson. On Tuesday, July 28th, we placed Vic Beasley on the reserve, did not report list. I have been in contact with Vic. He is not here. He understands his absence is unexcused, and he told me he will be reporting to camp in the near future. Our current focus is on the players that are here now, getting everyone acclimated to the protocols, our building, and our football program. We will have the same acclimation process with Vic when he reports. Now, me speaking, that's great that your current situation is about the players that are here. You got a big issue with the player that chose not to show up, and you should have a lot of concern about him. The players that are here aren't a problem.
Well, and we can read into what he said. That whatever excuse Beasley has for not being there is unexcused through the team, and there's no indication that he's opting out. So he's going to be fined $50,000 per day.
A day.
And that's not something they just wipe clean anymore whenever the player reports and they get a signing bonus or something like that. Like that's now mandatory.
You're right. And I know that you do a lot of digging and you read, you know, between the lines and under the weeds and all of these things that are put out there. And I know you investigate this, but that's very clear. That was very clear in this last CBA. And I've had players that have missed that I find, and then you told their fines and you can't do that anymore. You guys are 100% correct. At least they've made contact with him. And so once he gets in, then that issue will start to be resolved. But at least he's made contact with him.
We will refresh that statement from John Robinson when we come back. Also, Mac, Kirby Allen Kirby will be with us.
See, look, at least he showed up.
He will be here. Well, he's not here yet. And if he's not here, it will be unexcused.
Well, Kirby be issuing a statement from his yurt today. What's his statement on Vic Beasley? We got to get Kirby's thoughts on Vic Beasley also.
I think every time we have Kirby on, you love to work yurt in there somehow.
Absolutely. It's one of my favorite words. And it perfectly describes Kirby's dwellings.
This is 104.5 The Zone. Coming up, we will hear from quarterback Ryan Tannehill. That's around 12:30 this afternoon. Predators general manager David Poyle is on the show today at 12:15, and much more throughout, including Doug Matthews in 15 minutes. He's going to give us the latest on the SEC president's meeting that's taking place and whether or not we may hear some news about the SEC schedule in the same manner we heard the ACC schedule yesterday. And, of course, the Fighting Irish, Notre Dame, involved in the ACC as a full conference member for this season only. Coach Mack with us currently, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Paul, reset the statement from John Robinson, please.
Robinson's statement: on Tuesday, July 28th, we placed Vic Beasley on the reserve did not report list. I have been in contact with Vic. He is not here. He understands his absence is unexcused, and he told me he will be reporting to camp in the near future. Our current focus is on the players that are here now, getting everyone acclimated to the protocols, our building, and our football program. We will have the same acclimation process with Vic when he reports. This is very unsatisfying on several levels. He will report to camp in the near future. Hey, boss, I'm not at work, but I'm going to come in sometime soon.
Well, I mean, that's the protocol in place now. I mean, if he's going to report, until he reports, they can fine him $50,000. That's all they can do.
But what kind of answer is that? Like, what kind of guy did they sign who's giving them that answer?
Well, Paul, come on. You just complained about not hearing from the team. Now you hear from the team, and you're upset from hearing from the team on what they said.
I'm happy to have heard from the team. I'm allowed to be unsatisfied with
what would you like to hear? We're cutting him today, and
No. I would like to hear when he's reporting. I would like to hear he's on his way.
They don't know.
To them.
He's telling you in the statement he doesn't know when he's reporting.
I know. I think it's pitiful that they don't know when one of their guys is reporting. This is Jonathan, they've sold us on what
this
team
is. Vic Beasley problem.
Oh, I understand. But it's also a Titans problem in that they are an organization that sells us on their team first, love of football, all this stuff. Well, here's their new guy, and he's not showing me any of those qualities. So they misread him. They've sold us on this guy who they don't have a read on.
Well, they signed him. So, yeah, to what Paul's saying, you're correct. They certainly misread him because they were not predicting this would happen. But I'll also say this. If there's all these questions, and Hutton, you read the piece from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution about Vic Beasley.
Yes.
If there's all these questions about his motivation and his commitment to football, do we really think a guy's going to be more committed to football after taking multiple $50,000 hits day after day to not report to camp? So now he's making less money?
All I can say is the Falcons knew he wasn't committed to football, and they picked up a fifth-year option, and he gave them 8 sacks. So, I mean, that's production the Titans could desperately use right now. 8 sacks.
I'll agree with you on that. If an uncommitted Vic Beasley can give him 8 sacks,
yeah,
I'll take it over these guys that they're rolling out there.
Mac, what was available for pass rushers on the open market? I mean, I don't have the list pulled up. I know
they were available. They all got signed or tagged. I mean,
but aside from the franchise tags, though, there were not many after that that I can come up with.
Well, you got Jadavion.
Dante Fowler was one.
It's still out there. Everson Griffin, you know.
Everson Griffin, yeah.
33 years old there at Minnesota is still out there. I mean, but the list was pretty thin, you know, as far as guys that were out there. And to the Vic Beasley point, I mean, he'll be in eventually, and John Robinson will deal with this when he gets in there. And that's what he said. And so we'll wait and see what transpires there. I am glad of this. I am glad that they made contact. And again, we all said this. I heard all of you say this, and it rightfully so, because I know all of you. First of all, there was a little bit of an amount of concern of, is he okay? Is something, you know, really, really wrong? Now, is it wrong that he didn't show up? Absolutely. Is it wrong he didn't show up on time? Absolutely. But he will come in there, and then John Robinson will address it, and we'll find out as soon as he gets in. That's all that we can know. And really, that's all he can say. What else can he say? You know, he's not happy about it either, but what else can he say right now?
Yeah, there's no question that they're not pleased behind the scenes. I mean, that's an understatement. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're not. Mac, what did you think of the news of the two players on PUP, Jayon Brown, Corey Davis?
I mean, that's fairly common as far as early PUPs like that. They can come off of that at any time. If they're not quite ready to do something physically, we don't know what procedures any players have gone through in the off season as far as medical procedures that's never disclosed. You don't know any of that. I wouldn't be too concerned about that right now at this point, you know, for both of those players. And both of those players, you know, are at various stages of what they have to do. Clearly, Davis needs to be able to continue to work with this group offensively, because his production, they need his production. And Coach Jayon Brown, we all know what he means for that defense, especially at that position.
Well, and looking at that position with Jayon Brown, just how important is he? You know, losing a Wesley Woodyard, for instance, but having him there as that centerpiece at his spot, and not a ton of depth there, and not that a lot of teams around the league have a ton of depth at every position, but how important is he to what the Titans do defensively?
Chad, I mean, I think he's vital to what they do. We saw last year when he was not able to play, as far as the matchups in space problem they had, trying to do the various things they were trying to do with their sub packages, when they lost his foot speed in space, they had some issues. So I'd say he's vital to what they do. He really is. And the other thing that was important too is I think that the things that he was able to do was enabling Rashawn Evans to be able to develop like he did, because they could zero Rashawn Evans in on certain aspects of still playing behind the ball in a sub package, but let Jayon be the adjuster. He was the adjust guy in all of that stuff from that level. You have adjusters in these things. You do it from the back end, from your safeties. Your nickel can be an adjust guy, but the guy that's on the inside of the box that has to adjust and let some guy you know, be able to play just in a stable position. He allowed Rashawn Evans to do that. So he's vital to what they do.
Mac, do you have that bobblehead right in front of you?
No, I do not.
Have you guys seen this?
Shocking, he doesn't carry it with him like in his pocket, but they are delicate. I have a Drew Bennett bobblehead doll that broke its leg.
Have you seen this of Max bobblehead from Farm
Bureau? Honestly, initially I thought it was fantastic. The more I've looked at the picture closely, the more I can find flaws. This is shocking, I know.
Like under-exaggerated or over-exaggerated pieces of Max build?
Well, it seems more blonde than gray. Would we agree with that?
It seems pretty gray to me.
Ask the man. He's seen it. He's got it. What do you think, Mac?
Well, to me, I think it was a much better one than the one I had when I was a head coach. I've got a 3-foot rendition of the one when I was a head coach, because at the owner's meeting, they used it to display.
We need a picture of that.
Yeah. Okay. I've got it. I've got that. I will send it to all of you. Excellent. Because my sister sent it to me from a place in New Mexico. Because when she saw this one online, she said, oh, yeah. Then she put sarcastically underneath, haven't changed a bit. Which when you look at both of them, changed a hell of a lot. So anyway, when I got it, I mean, I think it's gray. There's no way to say it's not gray.
But it's gray.
When you look at it, because it definitely is gray. They did it from a picture. I have no idea. I mean, this is all Randy Wilmore and Farm Bureau health plans, but it went viral, and now we're going to have some more. If we do a bulk order, believe me, I would think that you three would have to have one in your home offices.
It'll be the only thing that's behind me during the broadcast. Coach Mac bobblehead right behind me the entire time.
You should put it in front of your phallic microphone, Chad.
Yeah, it'll just be Coach Mac. I'll be speaking in the back of Coach Mac's head in his bobblehead.
I want mine on with Paul back there by the Kings of Leon. And here, but Hutton, I know this. If you get one, Brody will have it chewed to pieces.
It will. I'll have to put it on the top of the shelf.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, Mac, you missed the layup opportunity. All you have to ask Paul is the color of his hair.
Oh, my bobblehead would be a very easy project. They'd spend half as much time on it as anybody else's.
You know what, though? It's amazing. And this one, I mean, when I asked Randy Wilmore what he spent on this, it amazed me. He spent money on this. So it was a custom-made bobblehead. I mean, it's legitimate. It wasn't just somebody selling somebody, you know, from the inside of their coat down there on Times Square. I mean, this was a real thing.
So there were two made, Paul, and Chad, they mailed so that Mac got one of them. The second one was in the mail, and it was lost in the mail for 3 weeks.
Oh, crap. Hold on.
And these are not inexpensive bobbleheads that they had specially ordered for him. So it finally made its way back to Farm Bureau Health Plans in Columbia like 3 weeks later. Someone finally returned it.
There's been a lot of bad and inaccurate bobbleheads over the years. And this Coach Mac bobblehead, while not perfect, I can't think of a perfect one, is pretty close to perfect. Like, it's very well done, I will say.
I was shocked when I opened the box, but I was fairly impressed by the quality of it. What we got here, Paul?
So I had somebody give this to me. It's totally fake. He just kind of like melts and repaints like a football figurine. So here's like a Columbia running back 25. It's in the box. And so then the box, he does like the computer player generated. So it says Paul Kuharski, and it's got the Columbia.
That's cool.
Columbia seal.
That's cool. That's cool. I like that.
How's Columbia's football team doing?
I'll tell you in the spring. In the spring, huh? They will be terrible. But right now in the fall, they're excellent.
Mac.
I like that, Paul. I like that one.
I'll take
no Kirby. No Kirby via Zoom. He actually logged in. He logged in like four or five times.
He's the Vic Beasley of the show.
Well, we know he's alive. And no,
he's trying to get in. Unlike
we physically saw him, and no audio on Kirby's end. He had deleted Zoom after the midday mixers because of like some viruses or something he thought would infect the device he had it on. So he had deleted, had to reinstall it, and now the audio doesn't work. So maybe next week.
Oh, he's infected with a lot of viruses, I'm sure. Hopefully not. Hopefully Corona.
There are HIPAA laws. You can't say that kind of stuff. You can't.
Mac, thank you as always. Always great to see you.
Thanks, guys, you guys are the best. See you. Thank you.